Hello and welcome to the 122nd edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, for the first time since 2004, we have two wins in a row.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Well, it's just amazing to me. I'm really surprised that when you look back, and I actually had to pull out one of the old media guides because it's just hard for me to fathom that that is an actual stat, that we haven't strung together two wins in that long.
Yeah, when you think about it, it's been kind of the decade of North Texas despair. We remember those years back in the Sun Belt when we were winning a lot of ball games, going to a lot of bowls. But if you think about it, you know, in the whole scheme of things, it's close to 10 years since those days happened. And it was funny, last week you and I were talking about when we started this podcast was at the very end of the Dickey regime.
Right.
So we've kind of had a decade of despair in terms of doing this podcast. So it's kind of nice to win for a change.
Yeah, we started these podcasts in 2006, which was Dickey's last year. We had a win against SMU, which was very nice that year, and then one at Florida International. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then Lafayette. And that was it. And that is, I'm just surprised we managed to make this many podcasts, 122, with that few wins.
Yeah, we're gluttons for punishment, I think.
Yeah, so like a lot of fans, we start turning this thing around, we're out, man. I mean, we like the eternal underdog, and it's just not. Well, let's talk about the game from the other day at Louisiana Tech in Ruston. Great amount of fans. For the fans out there that were there, I'm really happy you made it. I'm really excited at the support we saw. You could hear, and most of you have probably watched the broadcast, but you could hear the fans doing the North Texas chant.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was a good group, and you could really see that group towards the end of the game when the La Tech fans had already headed out.
Well, it's a good trip. It's close. Everyone that I spoke to that was there said that the Louisiana Tech fans were fantastic and really, you know, rolled out the red carpet and treated everybody well. That's a good partnership. You know, Louisiana Tech's a school that I think will be a good rivalry for us, and I think it's a great trip both ways. I mean, they've got a lot of fans here in Dallas that I know are excited about coming to Apogee, so it works out well for both sides.
It's good to have them. They are pretty close. You know, it seems to me that we always have, whenever we play Lafayette, Monroe, it's always a good time. You know, it's always a friendly rival. Always good games there. We play LSU, it's a total different scene. But the other schools we played in Louisiana Tech, they're great tailgating scenes, good people, good times.
Oh, absolutely. I think Lafayette's the one that stands out in everybody's mind. But you're right. I mean, you know, Louisiana is close by, and there's some real good opportunities to get on the road and have some good food and drink and have a good time.
All right, Harry, the highlight of the game, we'll start running those down. Another great performance by the defense, another good performance all around by North Texas. It was great to see people stepping up. So many teams we see are keying in on Breland Chancellor because they know that he is a weapon. And you see a lot of receivers and other players really stepping up.
Yeah, I would say that it was – the start made me nervous. You know, they went up 10-0 and we're, you know, seem to be slow out of the gate this year. I wish there was a way around that. And that stinking screen pass, you know, it was neat to hear that they've taken that play completely out of the playbook.
Yeah, that is something that we have been killed on for the third time, they've run it three times. I mean, it's just crazy that the numbers on how bad that's turned out. So it's gone. We don't have to worry about that. But regarding the slow start, I wish they would get a little quicker out of the gate and let's get a lead going, but yet I know how this team is and I know that they can come back. And so I feel like that's a known. I don't want them to lay down in the second half. I want them to step up and get fired up the second half.
Yeah, I'm different than you. I'm more of a worrier. I got real down to start off. I mean, when at 10-0, I was sitting here going, oh, what the F? I mean, are you kidding me that we're going to come out here and lay an egg like this? But you know, the defense, you're right about this. I mean, the defense seems to always equalize things. Even if we're bad offensively, we're going to get some big defensive stops, some turnovers. I think I read, I mean, we like lead the nation in defensive turnovers or something.
I'm sure somebody in the chat room will pull it up. But there are some great defensive stats in there. Yeah, I had heard it kicked around forced turnovers. We were leading the nation in there.
Yeah.
But you gotta hand it to the defense and how they're playing. I mean, the list of players making plays, Zach Orr, obviously, he is the man. We all know that. Whitfield, Trice, Lee. I mean, the names.
Byers.
I mean, the names of the guys just keep going on, and you're like, this is great. I mean, different playmakers are like, oh, was that Zach? Oh, no, that wasn't. Or that was Whitfield again. It's the second interception. That guy's throwing more balls to him than he is some of his receivers.
And it's funny, too, because it brings up memories of those great defenses back in the Dickey day. But there's a key difference. Back in those days, we had a couple, two or three or four guys that were like superstars that, you know, Booger Kennedy, Adrian Awesome, Jonas Buckles. I look at this defense under McCarney, and it's really like the old no-name defense.
Well,
you know, I mean, because if you think about it, yeah, Zach Orr's a great player and Laramie Lee and so on and so forth, but it's not like it's just one guy that does it. It's the whole group.
It is a group of playmakers, but just like you talked about Jones, Buckles, there was several guys making those big plays, and it's awesome to see that. And you know, you're right. I miss those defenses. I miss those. Oh yeah, we got the mean green defense. We've got a heck of a defense playing. And this defense here is turning the ball over. They're making plays. The hits are hard. There was that one controversial one where they sacked him, was a whistle blown. It was kind of hard to tell, but the hits that those quarterbacks are taking, and you know, it's like, can you imagine what the defensive highlight reel is going to look at the end of the season? Because every game they run that highlight, you know, 6 minute highlight video, and the hits that they're putting on are just massive.
The entire highlight video this year is going to be the best it's been in a decade. I mean, if you think about it,
there's going to be oohs and ahs in the
crowd. I mean, last year we did have the kickoff return against LSU, but now we got it against Georgia. And then you add all the defensive plays, and then there have been some good offensive plays too, not as many as on the defense, but it's definitely going to be a fun highlight reel this year.
It really is. Let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball. Derek Thompson.
Derek Thompson, you know, a pretty workmanlike effort. I don't think he was having his best game. I mean, I really don't. You know, just looking at the stats, he was 16 of 24 for 221 yards. Had a TD, also had an INT. I think if you take away that early interception, I'd probably give him a higher grade. But, you know, at the end of the day, hey, man, just win. And I think, you know, he had that kind of game, you know. And they really – the other thing about these stats – they really went into melt the clock down mode in the fourth quarter. They
Correct.
Really did.
They were running the ball, and the numbers show it. Brandon Byrd had 71 yards. Jimerson had 50. Reggie Pegram had 36. I mean, it's the same guys we're seeing up there week after week, that little trio of backs back there that just keep pounding the ball. And it's interesting to see the different running styles between like a Jimerson and a Pegram. And when they use them. And that's really good to see, and I want to keep building on that ground game because we're going to need it, because nothing to say about Derek Thompson and Chancellor, Smith, Harris, Kidzie, Miller, Bird. I mean, you know, all the Birds are back, but, you know, these receivers that have stepped up really kind of open it up for us, and we really need that running game to continue as we start with some of these other teams.
Well, we got people in the chat room all about UNT's favorite player is Darnell Smith. And I got to tell you, man, Darnell Smith has been the most clutch receiver that we've had this year. He's just really been outstanding. And, you know, you're right. I mean, I think the game plan is they want to run the ball, but they also want to get the ball to Chancellor as much as they can, which is hard to do because he's double and triple team. Mm-hmm. So Darnell Smith has been that guy that keeps him honest. You know, he's been that guy that makes that clutch catch for a first down on a long third down play. You know, he's just been a huge plus for the offense this year. And it's, you know, I tell you what, if he keeps playing like he's playing, he's going to get some postseason recognition.
And I'm excited about Darvin Kidzie, wide receiver freshman out of Missouri City. he's really making some, you know, every game he's got at least one catch. And you know, that's what we're going to need in the next few years. I mean, we're obviously going to lose Breland, but, you know, seeing the younger players step up in that position is great.
Yeah, and Carlos Harris was really the guy against La Tech. He had four receptions for 36 yards. He's a sophomore, so, I mean, he's got a couple years to help us. But you're absolutely right, Evan. You need to start getting some guys, you know. Darnell Smith's not going to be with us, you know. Breland Chancellor is going to be gone. Some of these young guys are going to have to take the torch.
And what's the passing game going to look like next year?
You know, I'm not as, you know, a lot of people talked about this huge loss in the senior class. I see a lot of juniors that are going to come back and help us. But obviously there's going to be an adjustment period. I think the offense, you know, the thing that I like about next year, and Derek's having a great year at quarterback, but I think next year's the year that we actually do bring in a quarterback that can run the ball and pass the ball. And I think that's what Mac, you know, the offense that Canales runs really would like to see. So I'm a little more optimistic than most about next year.
Well, that's good stuff there. This week we play Southern Miss. And this game scares me. Why? Because we're favored. I never like to be favored. It scares me that they haven't won a game all year. It scares me they're starting a freshman quarterback. North Texas has a bad history of playing teams that have this quarterback, you know, that they're going to try out, and he ends up being this amazing phenom, and they just walk all over. So even though we're in a position, I think we've got a better team than we've seen in a long time, I'm still real nervous.
I think you have to be. I mean, it's the old wounded animal theory that Dick Motta used to talk about. But I think the quarterback is Nick Mullins. He's from the Birmingham area. We've had some YouTube video up on the board about him. He's not a running quarterback, but he's pretty mobile. He's quick on his feet, got a nice release, good passer. He's young, but he's got talent. And that's why they're putting him in there. You know, the guy he replaced was a transfer from Cal and, you know, had a lot of accolades but just hadn't been getting it done. So, yeah, you get nervous when you look at a program like this that's gone so long without a win. I mean, seriously, they didn't win a game last year.
It's homecoming.
And
once
it's
again,
homecoming.
We're playing our fifth homecoming of the year probably.
And then the other thing is, have we ever started a game with a bang? I mean, have we ever gone in, you know, this season and come out – on fire.
No, that's not our style.
It's not our style, but you know what? I'm telling you, it's going to catch up to us sooner or later, and it did against Tulane. I mean, I think we probably would have won that Tulane game if we'd have come out with a little more fire, a little more passion. So, yeah, you're definitely nervous about these games, but every time they win, you know, and get a consecutive win, you get a little bit more confident.
I noticed somebody in the chat room, All About UNT, said the most penalized team in Conference USA is North Texas. I see that. I can see that easily, especially in yards, because we have gotten a lot of personal fouls. And, you know, a lot of them seem to be questionable. You know, very edgy, late hits, very close calls. I know we didn't get a face mask penalty the last game people wanted, but I see that. You know, is it really that big of an issue right now? Well, we had one return for a touchdown at the last game that was called back because of a foul that was way out of line. But
yeah, and I'm going to go with 97 and 03's comment in the chat room. Tulane, it hurt us. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that the penalties in that Tulane game could have been the difference between a win or a loss.
How many threads on the board have you seen where people bring up that Tulane game hurts even more?
It hurts every week that goes by, because you look at it and you say, good gosh, you know, we'd be a game away from securing a bowl bid if we had that at that victory.
And we'd be in the driver's seat.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that. So those things happen. I think the Ohio game, you could make an argument as well.
Well, yeah, that was a
6-point loss.
And that we were making a comeback there as well. It just fell short. So, yeah, this could easily be a one-loss season. I mean, really, it could.
Yeah.
Now, everybody could say that they've got a season that's real close to being totally different. Georgia could say that. I mean, there's a lot of people that are looking at that. But the bottom line is a team, I think that Tulane game makes it even the more important to play. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's that Tulane, that realization that, that they can't have that one back. They don't want to mess up anymore.
Well, and there's been a lot of discussion on the board about Tulane. They play Tulsa this weekend. They get them at home, of course. But if you look at that Tulane schedule, it's not a slam dunk that they're just going to walk through the rest of these games. If Tulane was to lose to Tulsa this weekend, that would set up things. And we were able to take care of business. Don't jinx it. That would set up that Rice game to be a really big
game. Well, that Rice game would be very important, but we need Tulane to get knocked down another one. They need to lose two.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying that if they lose this one this weekend,
yep,
the chances of them losing another one go up dramatically.
Well, that's true. They've won so many games by the skin of their teeth, it's crazy. I do know Sticks in here mentioned that Vito had talked about the officiating crew for the Tulane game was the same one at the La Tech game. And even George and Hank mentioned it on the broadcast that this is the same crew, and we had a lot of penalties at that Tulane game. Some of them were very costly towards the end. So I know that they're hoping that that same crew doesn't cross our paths again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the only thing I would say is I don't want to take away the passion and the hitting and the aggressiveness of the defense. I think if it's an offensive lineman jumping off sides, if it's Darius Terrell blocking some guy away from a huge touchdown return, you know, those are bad penalties. But what Zach Gore did to get a 15-yard penalty against La Tech last week was literally ridiculous. He didn't do anything to deserve that. And so I'm fine. I want the penalties to get better, but I also want them to keep playing aggressive.
No, I agree. The aggressiveness and the play of the defense is – has been amazing. The offensive line, something we didn't bring up, they've been playing amazing as well.
Yeah, they had that off week against Tulane with that, you know, they told us that was injuries. We had our two starters, you know, dealing with arthroscopic surgery. Man, since they've come back, it's a whole different deal with, yeah, Antonio Johnson and Chris Aneum back in the lineup. It was beautiful to see them. They dominated La Tech.
I really would like to see, and, you know, we're having a great season, but with the possible chance of different people playing quarterback next year and a more mobile quarterback, you got to think that that offensive line with him behind there gives us so many options.
Yeah, I mean, and the good news about the offensive line is it's not dismantling next season.
No.
You know, Antonio's back and the Badger, Wybarbo, who I'm telling you, man, pound for pound, Wybarbo is the meanest, baddest dude we've had come through here in a long, long time. But we have, and then Caden Kirby is playing center. He's a freshman. You know, I mean, we've got him coming back. So the prospects for the offensive line, I think, are very good for the future.
All right. One thing before let's talk about this. Southern Miss, what are their strengths and weaknesses? Obviously, a lot of people are going to think there's a lot of weaknesses, but what do we need to watch out for? What are the coaches going to be talking to the players about?
I mean, I think that it's hard to say because they're making such huge personnel changes right now because they've been losing so much. You got a brand new quarterback. Like I talked about, he's mobile. He can throw. But he's a freshman and he's young. He's going to make mistakes. He's had some interceptions when he's gotten into games. I think you're seeing a lot of changes on the defensive side. They're starting to take younger. This is going to be a very young team. Now, they have talent, but these guys don't have a lot of experience. So, honestly, it's hard to answer that question, Evan. I watched the press conference from Coach Monken, and he is doing some – he's putting a lot of guys out there on the field for the first time because he's just trying to mix it up.
All right, so are we going to see a big passing game, or how is our rushing going? I mean, how is the running game going to be against them?
I mean, I think they're going to. I mean, if you're asking what they're going to do to us, I think they're going to try to get this guy to roll around and make things happen. The reason Nick Mullins got the starting nod is because he seems to do better when things break down. He knows how to improvise. So the thing that I would be afraid of is the quarterback rollouts. You know, those have kind of hurt us sometimes. We've had a quarterback go back, everyone's covered, the rush is coming in, and then he sneaks through and gets a, you know, Montana did that to us a lot in the Tulane game. I think you got to keep an eye on this guy running the ball. He's not a speed demon, but he's got some legs. And I think they've got some talent, you know, a young talent at receiver and even at running back that, you know, you got to be careful about.
Well, the Tulsa Tulane game, for those who are wondering, is at 2:30 on Saturday. So before the North Texas game kicks off, we should have a pretty good idea how that one works out. So, you know, that'll be a good thing to look at going.
If Tulane beats Tulsa, we need to just kind of, you know, step back, step down a little bit. It's going to be, if they win that game, then they're in the driver's seat.
Right, right. But still, I still like where we're at. I still like what we have going on. And it's an exciting season. This is something obviously we hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah, and if we can keep the wins coming, it's just going to keep raising eyebrows. Because I read the articles now, and everyone's like, "Man, you know, newcomer North Texas is a surprise." You know, everyone, no one expected us to do this well. So in our first year, and in fact, someone pointed out on the board, we have the best record of all the new additions into Conference USA. So that's something to be proud about.
Yeah, it is, and we got a better record than a lot of the old school guys in Conference USA. And that's the thing. The conference is obviously down, and it's great to come into a conference that's down
versus last and be year up. The belt. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So those are great things to see. So hey, real quick before we bring Brett Vito on, I want to touch on for those of you that watched Beyond the Green. Of course, last week we had the producer on. This week, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's the two-part. The first part has a little interesting background on Coach Mack. Talks about the health issues, what he was trying to, you know, brought in here to do, what he's trying to do. It was pretty good. Had his son on there talking to him. And then the second part was the Middle Tennessee State game. And the great thing about that Middle Tennessee State game, I thought, was towards the end of it, where Marcus Trice is down there, and people in the stands are doing the North Texas chant, which I think is going to get a lot more play in the few weeks. You know, it was something we didn't do kind of earlier on in the season. I mean, they did it a little bit, but after that last game, I think it really took off even more than usual. It was very loud. And when the players down there, and you could see the look in their eyes, this was awesome. And Marcus Trice is down there kind of leading it on the sides, like, you know, and the players love that. It was great hearing it, like I said, at the Louisiana Tech game. So make sure you see that. That part's in the second half of the video for Beyond the Green. But anxious to see this week with the Louisiana Tech footage. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take a little break. And for those of you listening on live, obviously won't be breaking, but we're going to get Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle. All right, joining us on the phone is the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Brett, you know, it's been a while since we strung two together. Have you been surprised by the success of the team this season?
If we're really surprised. I mean, I think a lot of people thought that this might be the year that they really would start to put it together. You've got a lot of veteran guys on this team, and you start talking about, you know, the Zach Orrs, you know, the Derek Thompsons of the world, guys like, and it seemed like everything kind of lined up for this year to potentially be a good year for North Texas. And then, you know, things kind of worked out in terms of the schedule. And, you know, I just look at it at the season and think that this is kind of the year that everything kind of is working out for North Texas in general.
So are you wanting to get a mulligan on your prediction for the for the record this year?
Get on the record?
Oh, I don't know. I went 5-7. I mean, it looks like that's going to be on the low side. I think that was a pretty safe prediction to start. I mean, it may go better than that. But, you know, I don't back off of those things. I mean, I'll stick with it to the bitter end, and we'll see how it goes. But, I expect him to finish better than that now.
Okay, so one name that came up on the board today I was going to quiz you about is Quentin Brown, the defensive end, JUCO transfer that looked so good in the spring and then had that terrible injury. Any news on when we might see him return? And if you could touch again on his status as far as medical red shirts and things of that nature.
Well, you know, I didn't directly ask about it this week, and Mac's a little notoriously tight-lipped about guys with injuries. He's gotten a little bit more talkative about it, I think, just because the more he's around it, the more he realizes, you know, maybe it's a little bit different world than when he was a head coach the last time around. I wouldn't be surprised to see him this week, although since practice is closed, you don't really get to see anything to see how he's doing. The situation is, you know, he did redshirt at Central Florida when he was working with Scaldini the first time, so there's really no you know, he's going to lose the year either way. And we've mentioned that before, but I know it's come up again. So either way, he loses a year. So you might as well try to roll him out there if you can possibly manage it, especially in a year when you think that everything is starting to line up for North Texas to potentially, you know, really have that breakthrough year. So I don't know if it's going to be this week, but I would expect to see him sometime soon.
Brett, you know, nobody's got their ear to the recruiting situation better than you. Tell us, do you see the, I mean, obviously we lost a recruit to TCU. It's a little, you know, that's a little tough one. But do you see the recruits and how they're looking at the program and everything, turning around, people want to be part of it as it's building? What do you see there?
Well, you know, I think that's the last thing to kind of come around, because, I mean, if you think about it, really, these guys that they're recruiting now, I mean, North Texas, the only thing they know about North Texas is ever since they were in the third grade, North Texas has been terrible. I just think that's a thing that takes time to overcome. You know, you can tell a kid, hey, look, we've really turned it around. It looks like we're going to a bowl game this year, or, you know, we've got a really good chance to break through. This is going to be the big year, and then everything's going to be different from here on out. But that's a hard sell to kids that you're asking to really jump in on faith alone. You know what I'm saying? I just think that's awfully tough. I mean, if you're talking to a kid like a Desmond White, say the kid that flipped to TCU at the last minute, you know that those coaches from TCU are telling him, hey, look, man, North Texas hasn't been to a bowl game since 2004 when you were in the third grade. Yeah, they're playing better this year, but do you really think that's going to be a long-term successful thing? You know, and sometimes that can be a bit of a hard sell. Now, I do think the impression of the program is improving greatly. If you guys read the story about Desmond White that we wrote in the paper and in the Dallas Morning News, we quote Claude Mathis talking about how much he really likes Dan McCartney and how much he really thinks that he's doing a tremendous job. I think those things make a difference, but it might take a little bit of time for those kids to kind of come around to the idea of playing for North Texas.
Okay, so Brett, you've had a number of articles about, you know, North Texas is graduating a lot of key leadership, you know, performance guys off this year. Let's talk about next year. You know, do you think North Texas has enough, you know, talent among the younger players to where they can transition without a huge drop off, or what's your thoughts on that?
You know, that's always hard to tell, because I mean, you're talking about guys that maybe you haven't seen a lot of, you know, and haven't done it before. And, you know, sometimes those kids do pan out and they do play really well right away. And other times they just don't, you know, that's more the exception to the rule of kids that immediately walk in and start making a huge impact right off the bat. Now, does North Texas have some guys that are going to make a big difference this year? Next year, you start talking about Zach Orr walks out the door. I don't think you replace Zach Orr. I don't think that's even a realistic thing to talk about. I don't think it's a fair thing to talk about for the guy that's going to have to step into those shoes just because of what he's meant to that program for so long. But does an Anthony Wallace, who transferred in four, does he kind of fill that hole a little bit? Do you have some other guys? Do you know, does Antoine Jimerson, you know, start showing what he showed a little bit last year and fill the hole that's going to be there with Brandon Bird's going? You have a defensive tackle that's graduating, a defensive end that's graduating, and Brandon McCoy, who's another big leadership guy. Those are big holes to replace, and I don't think we're going to really know how they're going to adequately fill those until we really start seeing, and maybe in spring and probably in the fall, how some of these guys are going to play. And I did mention on the blog today, I'll find it real interesting to see how many junior college players North Texas pursues, especially on the defensive side of the ball this year.
So looking at the defense, it seems like when they made the decision to put Byers in ahead of Whitfield at corner, and then James Jones started starting. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of Hilbert Jackson in a while. You know, do you think that change at cornerback, I mean, has made a huge impact? I mean, it sure appears that way. But what are your views on that move?
Yeah, I mean, they did put James Jones in as the boundary corner in place of Hilbert. And I mean, on the surface, it does seem like it really has worked out. It's hard to argue with the results. But, you know, I do think we've seen some of those other guys, those other corners, play quite a bit and make a big impact. I wrote a huge story in tomorrow's paper about Zach Whitfield, what he did last week, and some of his mother's struggles with health issues that have really, you know, concerned him over the last couple of years. His mom has some pretty horrendous health problems that have really weighed heavily on him. And I just think he can't write off those guys. I think they're still contributing, but yeah, it is interesting that they have really started to kind of settle in on those two guys. Whitfield did have a couple of interceptions left. The guys that he'll do a lot, him, I'm not sure if we'll see a lot of Hilbert.
So is DeJone going to get the red shirt? Someone at King DL1 asked the question in the chat room. I mean, are they going to let Williams have a red shirt this year, or what's the status on that situation?
On DeJean?
Yes.
I mean, they're going to pursue every avenue possible to make that happen. We saw it with Riley a couple years ago. You know, I wouldn't surprise me if somehow they're able to get that through. I'm sure they'll try to push it through. I mean, we did see that with Riley a couple of years ago. He played a couple of games at wide receiver, then he had a concussion, and they got a redshirt year for him. They've already floated the possibility that, hey, you know, he's had some injury problems, missed practice time. You know, we're going to look at trying to get him a redshirt year. Now, whether they can get it through or not, who knows, but I'm sure they're going to try every avenue possible to get him an extra year. Because I really do think they like him as a player and view him as potentially the future there at quarterback.
Have you had a chance to dig up a little bit more on Richard Abbey? I mean, this guy went from being basically a non-contributor to
huge contributor.
That last game, I was like, what is this guy on, man? He was throwing people around, batting passes, making sacks. I mean, it's just amazing turnaround in his career.
I mean, he has played. I hate to label a guy just completely a non-contributor. I mean, he did, you know, he did play, and he did, you know, he did get in a lineup. He did make some plays throughout the years. I just don't think he was a huge playmaker. They did lose one other defensive tackle last year who was kind of in the same mold, the same spot, you know, kind of a 0-1 technique, kind of, you know, nose tackle kind of guy, Tevin Cantley. You know, maybe that just opened up some more playing time for him. Because, I mean, Tevin did start part of the year. You know, now it's Richard Abbey's playing a lot more. And sometimes, you know, the light goes on for guys towards the end of their careers. You know, they want to really make that last year special. And, you know, that thought's crossed my mind with Abbey because he really has played well this year.
All right, Brad. So we're coming up against a 0-6 Southern Miss team. You seem to have a lot of contacts in these cities and talk to the different places. What are we looking at on this team? What are we concerned with besides a freshman quarterback that's nobody knows much about?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't know Conference USA as well as I knew the Sun Belt, and you know, I knew a lot of the. I mean, I still know a lot of the guys that cover the different programs. One of those places where I don't have a friend that's been there for a long time, a Middle Tennessee or well back when they were in the same league in Arkansas State or something like that. And I haven't done a whole lot of digging yet because I was working more on midweek stuff and things like that, more features on North Texas and look at what they're doing. But no, they are going to the freshman quarterback, and you never know what's going to happen with that kind of situation. I know the people at Southern Miss and the guys that cover that team and have been writing about it have kind of been calling more, well, you don't really call for it, but this is the B guys. They've been kind of indicating that there was a feeling out there that that was their best option. You know, so, I mean, they're 0-6. You roll a freshman out there. That's one of those situations where maybe the guys is like, well, heck, I got nothing to lose here. We're already 0-6. We're toast for the season. And he can just roll out there and play with his hair on fire. Or, you know, you get in the opposite situation where the guy is a little nervous and is wanting to prove himself and doesn't play well. But, you know, at 0-6, these guys are going to be awfully, you know, I don't want to say dangerous, but they're going to be one of those teams that has nothing to lose, and they can just let it all hang out there.
Yeah, that seems to be the concern, just let it hang out. All right, so what can we be looking forward to, Brett, besides your posting for websites on the Twitter that have nothing to do with football?
he's giving you a hard time about that Twitter hack.
Yeah, who did you make mad to hack your Twitter account?
I don't know. That was interesting. I randomly plugged into Twitter, and, you know, I've tried to kind of – it's kind of a newfangled thing, and it wasn't something that I was particularly big on to start with, but now everybody kind of uses it to promote what they're doing in the paper. And I try to use it more to promote the blog and things of where we actually make some money. You know, we actually are promoting something that, you know, benefits us as a newspaper. But, yeah, I jumped on there the other day, and I'm like, huh, that's weird. I didn't tweet that. And then a guy that, you know, that's also around North Texas quite a bit, Joe, he said that he clicked on the link or something, and it was like a website that has a lot of malware on it. And I did look at it, and I kind of clicked on it, and I was at the office, and it popped up and says, do not go to this site because of severe malware, danger to your computer. I'm like, oh, boy. I couldn't get into my email either. I thought they hacked into my email, but fortunately I was able to reset everything, and hopefully that'll not happen again. I was just glad I wasn't like a guy I know from the morning news who also covers colleges. Chuck Carlton got hacked, and some people put up some pretty some pretty awful stuff on his account. It was kind of embarrassing, so I kind of walked.
Well,
out
we thought
there.
we thought you were maybe starting a side gig. So hey, I wasn't judging. I just was just concerned there. But Brett, we will look forward to talk to you again soon. We appreciate you being on with us, and thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care.
All right, take care, Brett. All right, so that was Brett Vito from the DRC. You can find his blog. First of all, follow him on Twitter. I mean, honestly, you follow Twitter for the feeds for North Texas. You can find those, but you can also follow him at brettvito.com. Or Brett Vito is
brettvito.com.
Yeah, there might be a brettvito.com. If not, somebody
go buy it now.
Somebody's going to buy it. I hope Brett has it. You can follow him at dentonrc.com, or his blog is actually meangreenblog.dentonrc.com.
You're starting to remember that again.
Well, I thought I took a picture of it, but now evidently I don't. So, everybody else gets this from the board. You go on there, and there's
go meangreen.com. It's all over. I mean, we quote him all the time.
Some of the best things he's had in the past couple of weeks have been some player information, backgrounds on them. And he's, you know, just talked about he was going to do the background on Zach Whitfield, which everybody knows. It was kind of it's a sad situation, or, you know, just a real unfortunate situation. But anyway, so we got a game against Mississippi State. We got to take – or Southern Miss. We got to take care of that. And then we've got the
Halloween.
The Halloween game. Yeah. And I can't tell you, Harry, how important that I think this game against Southern Miss is, because that game on Halloween, we need to have some attendance.
Yeah, and it's tough on a work night, you know, on a Thursday and a week night. That's always tough. But, you know, the reality of it is you got to nut it up, and you got to take a half day off work and grab a couple friends and get as many people up there as you can. And then you also have to make sure the students show up. And everything I'm seeing is indicating that, hey, professors are going to let people out of class and extra credit. And so everyone's trying to do their part. I think if we all do that, we're not going to break any records, but we can certainly have a respectable showing. And we did that against Louisiana Lafayette. If you recall, the student section for that game was encouraging.
Thursday night, the students came out. This should be just like that. Honestly, you know, the last game at Apogee was really great, considering the weather had been so bad that day, the Middle Tennessee game. So I'm confident, especially if we can pull off a win at Southern Miss, that Rice game will have a good crowd.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of good things to look forward to. And once again, it is beautiful going here in Mean Green Country.
Feels great. You know, let's keep it going, though. You know, I mean, let's do this for a while. I wouldn't mind doing this for, what, the next 4 or 5 weeks?
No, I could definitely go.
I mean, a 9-win season is still within reach.
It is crazy to think about, but it is, and that's awesome considering how we figured out what we were hoping. This could exceed expectations. I feel like we already have to an extent. So
absolutely, it's
some
been
great
fun.
Stuff here.
It's been fun.
All right, with that, we will let you go. And at 39 minutes and about 40 seconds, that's it. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.